Wardell.
I think in that fascinating report, the thing that stood out for me was the idea that they hadn't behaved unprofessionally. And I would love to know what a code of spy conduct might look like. Indeed, who would draw it up? And that's part of the issue here. Let's talk to a whistleblower for her reaction to this. Annie Machen, who is a former MI5, that's British intelligence officer. She blew the whistle on alleged criminality within the intelligence agency. She joins us now from Dresden. Annie, there's several questions to deal with. But first off, can I ask what you think about those lines of defence that we heard? You know, the Europeans did it, we didn't, everyone does it, and you die if we don't do this spying, seemed to be the implication. What did you think of the line of defence that they took?
Well, I think they would try and say that, wouldn't they? But these two officials, Alexander and Clapper, have already been caught out lying to Congress over the last year about the sheer scale of the activity of the NSA. So now, of course, they're going to go on the offensive to try and argue that it's all proportionate.
Well, they've been caught out lying how? Because the politicians didn't seem to be particularly hard on them.
No, they didn't. It was surprising. Alexander tried to overinflate the effect of NSA spying by saying that it had stopped 54 terrorism attacks in the last year. He had to rescind that and say, actually, it might just have possibly have contributed to one. And James Clapper, in front of a congressional hearing last year, said that the NSA absolutely did not pick up any data around American citizens. Now, of course, we all know that to be false.
And these are on the record. These are things that you're claiming with the record behind you.
These are very much on the record indeed, and there have been calls in America to put them both on trial for perjury, for lying under oath to Congress.
Right. Can we move on? I want to ask about what the wider lessons of this are, in your opinion. We heard yesterday a former ambassador, an American ambassador to Berlin, saying, there was a bit of eavesdropping going on. You've got to bear in mind this began at the time of the Iraq War, time of great controversy. We wanted to know what Angela Merkel was thinking, even though she was in opposition. But then it seems to have carried on somehow. What does this tell us about the oversight of what is done?
It shows that there's been a complete failure in oversight, I think. There is a framework within which spies, both sides of the ponds, have to work. And that is drawn up by our politicians. So in the UK, we have a number of laws to control and oversee the spies. And that's supposed to provide democratic oversight proportionately within a democracy. Unfortunately, the spies have managed to find new technologies and abuse new technologies on a vast scale since these laws were drawn up, because the laws are 20th century, the tech is 21st
but
century.
But we heard the leaders there saying that they, the American spy agencies and surveillance systems, are actually the most supervised in the democratic world.
Well, manifestly not, if even their politicians don't know what's going on. Even their president says he doesn't know what they're getting up to. I wouldn't call that proper oversight. And we have the same failure in the UK, even with our Intelligence and Security Committee in Parliament, which doesn't, well, until this year, did not have proper powers to oversee the spies anyway.
Can I ask about the UK involvement? Because it's something that interests me. We've seen European leader after European leader finding out that they've been eavesdropped on. Rather absent in all of this is David Cameron, the British Prime Minister. Is the UK seen as the only gentleman by America in this gentleman's agreement not to spy on everyone, which seems to have been consistently broken?
I don't think it's got anything to do with gentlemanly behaviour. I think it's just that the UK is very useful to the US. It was interesting what Alexander said in defence, that they weren't spying on their European allies. It was a NATO thing. And that, of course, implies to me that what he is referring to is the GCHQ Tempora programme, which was also released under the disclosures from Edward Snowden.
So this is British run, the British-based GCHQ?
A British-based GCHQ, which has been reported now to receive over $100 million over the last few years to act as an outpost for the NSA. And, of course, GCHQ and the NSA share everything. So, effectively, GCHQ is doing the NSA's dirty work in Europe.
Can I ask one final question? The problem in this is who to trust. A lot of these people, we describe them as intelligence chiefs, as espionage leaders. Can you ever trust a spy?
Well, a lot of good people do go into this line of work to make a difference, to protect their countries and potentially save lives. The problem is, with a lack of oversight, you get a very hothouse, closed environment within the agencies. And if they take one false move, like endemic surveillance or torture or extraordinary rendition, then the groupthink can kick in. And it's very difficult to challenge that status quo, which is why we need effective oversight from the outside.
Many, many thanks indeed. Talking to us from outside the UK, former MI5, British intelligence officer, Annie Machen, speaking to us from Dresden. Many thanks indeed to her.